Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item of business is the approval of the minutes of the regular session of July 24th.
Motion to approve, Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Boyas to approve the minutes of July 24th that have been submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. I let the record show that all council members are present except for Council Vice President Elwood. Thank you. And it's 4-0. Motion. Next is the Berlin Bikeways Project, and Planning Director Dave Engelhardt is going to take us through. There's two different motions. The first is a memorandum of understanding with the Maryland Delaware Railroad.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. You may recall last May of 2016, we applied for grant funding for design and concept plans from Maryland Department of Transportation, their Bikeways program. This originated with an idea of Mayor Williams that we have a bikeway or a pathway through town from the newly acquired Berlin Falls Park down to the center of town. He asked me, and Town Administrator Laura Allen asked me to investigate feasibility of that. We met with the Maryland Delaware Railroad to see if we could have access within their right-of-way. The right-of-way the railroad has through town is 33 feet from the center line of the tracks on both sides of the tracks. I consulted with the Bikeways program. The ideal bike pathway, pedestrian pathway, is 10 foot and 2 foot gravel on either side, so a 14-foot right-of-way. The mayor and I rode around with John Sullivan, the representative from the Maryland Delaware Railroad, and took a look at it, and we kept pursuing it. The mayor said, run with it, and we pursued it with the railroad, and they love the idea. Elsewhere in the state where they abandoned railroad tracks, you have rails, two trails. This is the first that would be in the region. Rails and trails, because the rails would be remaining. So we applied for the grant, and by the end of May 2016, we were awarded those design funds in a grant in November of 2016. And now we have the memo that's in front of you from the Maryland Delaware Railroad. This is to secure our access, give us rights for surface. They could still put infrastructure below it, gives them that right, but nothing above it that would interfere with the bikeway, or we've changed it to calling it a mixed-use path with Maryland Department of Transportation, so it could be walking, biking, whatever activity. And the grant was for design funds. We received $30,000. You had passed a motion also in May of 2016 to not to exceed $20,000 in kind for town funds. The way the proposal comes, the second part of tonight's item is to approve the proposal from Davis, Bowen, and Friedel for survey, engineering, and design services for the pathway. Their proposal comes in at $35,000. So the cost of the town would be $5,000. We anticipate most of that being in kind. Our time, our on the project, and different services as we work through it with Davis, Bowman, and Friedel. We need the memo of understanding with the railroad so that we can put the bikeway path there. They have a reservation fee. We broke it into three phases because we assumed that down the road here, when we go to construct the path, we would have to do it possibly from the park down to the center of town where the railroad intersects Main Street by the fire company and by the library. And then the next section would possibly be down through the center of town and the final section down to the southerly border of town, down on Buckingham Lane, where it meets Evans Road before it heads out into the county. The design we would hope would be from the entire length of town, from in the railroad, which would be, and that's not to say that it will all ever get built or it has to get built, but we could go from Route 50 on the northern boundary on the railroad all the way to the southern boundary on Buckingham Lane. That distance is approximately 1.7 miles. I anticipate the path would be shorter than that, probably be closer to a mile, maybe 1.4 miles. The surveys will bear that out when we get there in the engineering services. They have a reservation fee of $500 for each of the three phases. So initially, we would have $1,500 expenditure. They've also asked in the memo of understanding the preparation of that memo and the execution of it be paid by the town of Berlin. That's another $1,500. So those would be the initial outlays. Those would not be covered by the grant fund, so that would be the start of our contribution to the whole package. After a section would be constructed, that $500 fee disappears, and we pay an access agreement fee of 10 cents per square foot of paved area. This is similar to like you see if you're familiar up in Delaware, where Mount Air Farms crosses the railroad. The railroad and the road goes right through Mount Air Farms plant. Just for example, they pay 24 cents a square foot, I believe. So the railroad's working with us in coming in at 10 cents a square foot to give up their right of way, their access to us. Staff recommends that you pass a motion to enter into this memo of understanding with the railroad and also to approve the proposal by Davis Bowman and Fidel. Any questions?
I've got one, Dave. On
sure.
On complete build out with all three phases, what is the licensing fee that you project?
It's 10 cents a square foot. Say, and I even gave you an estimate. I calculated the square foot in 1.7 miles to try and give you, if you saw in the staff report, I believe it was in your packet.
It's $12,559.
If it was 1.7 miles.
Basically from Route 50 to Evans Road.
Correct.
Just to make it.
Paved the whole way, right.
So at this point, for this initial phase, we're talking less than a third of the distance, right?
I would say so.
Roughly, yes. 25%, 30%.
Yes.
And so the annual cost would be approximately, $3,000, $4,000?
Correct.
Okay, I think we're on
trying to get the annual. We do first.
And that's an annual fee.
That is an annual fee.
Paid once a year or paid quarterly?
It's paid once a year.
Now, when the mayor started talking about this bike path, if it was to encompass the entire town, my concern is the east side of 113. How will the east side be included in this bike path, and when?
Well, that would be like the future grant cycle for the construction, which would be next year. We can continue to apply for design services also. The whole idea with the bike waste program from the state is connectivity. That's their big thing. They like that, connectivity. My conceptual idea would be as we came down to Main Street, it's possibly along Tim's plant between William and Main Street, where we have the, where the old railroad tracks were, that could be the connecting to the east side of town, because if you remember, we had a path that was, we were involved with for bike path all the way to Assateague Park. And I know that one has died for now, I think because of federal funding, is that correct, Mayor?
Yeah, things are just taking too long for the funding to
work. So that's still on there. That's still in their playbook for the Maryland Department of Transportation, is to have that connectivity go all the way along Assateague Road, all the way out to the park, and out, you know, east to 611. So that, we'd have to get across town somewhere, and that's the perfect spot, you know, on that old railroad right away, which the town owns from Main Street to William Street, and then come down.
Yeah, but we don't own it. East of it, do we? Or don't we know?
Between, can we figure out what easement still exists for that east to west line?
It's town property, it's not an easement.
There's a portion of it, I believe the mayor's getting ready to get.
Yeah, this is a shame because in the 70s this was all a lot was set to go, including the train. Mm-hmm. And it all just got ignored to the point that it all went away, including a lot of the right-of-way that the town initially had. And I'd like for you to research what portion of the old railroad bed that's in town from wherever it ended over here to the west, all the way to our easternmost boundary, is in our ownership and our control. Because that will have a lot to do about where we would begin this part of the process. Because we certainly have a lot more opportunity, a lot more leverage, and a lot more possibility of getting funding for a bikeway on that path. I do know that there are, at least I was told when I was back in the newspaper days, that some of those right-of-ways were bought by the adjacent property. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's been too long ago.
Mayor.
Yes.
Yeah, you're in his Soren's house or she, her house. I believe those people bought all the way to William Street. That's from Main Street to William Street.
And the relatives that live behind, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Her mother, yeah.
So but there again, that, you know, we're just kind of thinking this out, is that it wouldn't prevent us, though, from being able to go from, let's say, the electric plant east all the way to our most eastern boundary. Right? Because it's west of the property, I believe. So that's another thing we have to check. It would be either just on the immediate west side of William Street or the immediate east side of William Street, which is adjacent to Cannery Village. So please, if you'll check all that out and get back to us and give us a report. Because, and this, you're absolutely right, what we're talking about is ultimately, in time, is to try to have the railroad bed in every area that we, I don't think there's any restrictions on the one that goes north-south, because it's still owned by the railroad.
That's correct.
But I do think that there's a reasonable probability that from William Street east all the way to our eastern boundary, that could become a bikeway, because I think we're still in control of that property. If you'll confirm all that between you and David and Laura and everything. And I do, again, it'll be up to the council's side, but I do agree, yeah. You start one, you get something, then you go to the other. I think it's just going to take a while, but not decades, to build these out. But we're not talking about just one, we're talking about two being built out. And it, like everything else, will depend on funding. And I'm just suggesting that we get started here, that we go there, and we keep going back and forth and back, and then someday, and hopefully none of us are sitting here, it'll all be done on both of them.
What I remember talking about, too many meetings. But is that meet with your, with the vision that we talked about sometime ago?
We're all clear. But now we've got to decide if we're going to take step one, right?
Correct.
And you're telling us that for this initial commitment to leasing this right-of-way from the railroad, that it'll cost us $1,500 one-time fee, plus about roughly $3,500 a year for this first section, and that someday in the future for this, with this agreement in place, that if it went the full extent, it could be as far up as 12,000 miles.
I would agree with all you just said, except initially, when we enter into this, we have a $1,500 one-time fee for the preparation.
Okay.
And $1,500 is a reservation fee. Okay. Until we start construction, until we pave over any area, we don't pay that 10 cents per square foot.
Okay.
We continue to pay 500, 500, and 500 for an annual total of 1,500.
That's more
so
than
the way the grant cycles go. I do know from talking to Maryland Department of Transportation Bikeways, their grant cycle will also be probably end of May, early June of 2018, with no funds. I'm speaking of construction funds now. We have it designed. I would go for construction funds next, till the end of 2018, November, December, like it was last year. And funds not really available to early 19. So that $1,500 fee annually would be, in that period, all you would have. It wouldn't convert to the 3,000 on up to 12 until we have areas paved and constructed.
And usable by the public.
Correct.
I would like to make the motion that we move forward with the Memorandum of Understanding with the Maryland and Delaware Railroad to begin our bikeway program.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Tindall to approve motion 2017-22 to approve the Memorandum of Understanding with the Maryland and Delaware Railroad for the bike lane. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the motion passes 4-2. Next is 2017-23. Maybe we're gonna kick that one too.
It's the DBM.
It's a proposal from DBM for the survey, engineering, and design services. We've met with them or spoken with them several times about it with one of their landscape architects. First portion of it would be a survey to determine where it's possibly narrower than the 33 feet and how much of a path we can get in there. There are some areas in town where it's not quite as wide from the center line of the tracks. Just from going over quickly, Ivy Wells and I went with Tim Metzner, the landscape architect, to a tour through town and all the spots, and I don't see it as an issue. Maybe right off of Baker Street in that area and Harrison Avenue, you know, if you remember or recall how it is, the tracks are kind of close to some of the yards there, and I think the surveys will bear it out that some people have claimed a little territory that probably belongs to the railroad over the years, but we'll see.
Yeah, and we'll work that out with them when we find out what we're dealing with.
And, you know, we had asked for, also as part of this, the town administrator, Laura Allen, wanted a construction estimate at the end of it. The original form of this didn't have that they provide us with how much this is going to cost when we're done. And so that was a good addition. And it also had preparations for permits and different things in it, but that's part of our check with the Bikeways program. That would be part of a construction grant money that could be paid out of it, the permitting process. So we actually got it kind of matched what the grant was for. We got a $30,000 grant. Bikeways has assured me they intend to spend $30,000 on this. So they thought it was a good match. They got a copy of this also. So I think we will have that initial layout of the $3,000, and then the rest we could easily do within time, you know, with hours that staff work.
But the grant's
$30,000. Yes, sir.
EBNF is
$35,000.
Yeah. But that $5,000 would not be in kind. That would be out of pocket.
It can be in kind.
It can be in kind.
Yes, sir. Our portion can be in kind.
I don't understand.
I'm not sure you understand the question. The DBF proposal is $35,000. The grant is actually $30,000. So the balance would be $5,000 out of the of the town's pocket.
To pay the DBO.
To pay the balance of DBO.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you right? Right.
I'll make the motion to move forward on this one as well. 2017-23 to have DBS go ahead and move forward with the design and engineering for the bikeway.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Kendall to approve motion 2017-23, which is the approval of design and engineering proposal from DBF, and the total amount of that contract is $35,000. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you. Thank you, David. And next is motion 2017-24, approving meeting room use policy. And Administrative Services Director Mary Boland is going to describe the whys and what this meeting means and why it's being recommended to the council.
Essentially, as it indicates, this is a policy that we would use going forward for outside organizations wishing to use either the council chambers or the conference room for meetings that are separate from town business. It wouldn't include, obviously, meetings that town officials or organizations bring
commissions board.
Correct. It essentially outlines their responsibilities in using the rooms as well as our responsibilities as their host, so to speak. There are caveats in here regarding the use of town equipment, the layout of the room. Should they come in and make big changes to the way the rooms are set up, they would need to restore them before they leave, that sort of thing.
Is there a charge?
Yes, I'm sorry. There would be a charge. For nonprofits, there would be a $10 fee if they use the room for six times in the course of a year, there would be no charge for those initial six meetings. Following that, there would be a $10 charge for nonprofits. For for-profit organizations, there would be a $25 charge per meeting, assuming meetings last 4 hours. The $25 is intended for a four-hour reservation block.
And generally speaking, they're either morning or afternoon, generally.
Yes. There are meetings that do occur after hours, and we will have to make arrangements for them to get the keys to access the building for those times.
And this is so that we basically apply one standard, of course, obviously, once there are own government boards and commissions and so forth, where there's no charge, the nonprofits then have their own guidelines, and they have six uses for absolutely no cost, and with everything being reserved, of course. They're required to clean up and all that, right?
Yes.
And then after that, it's $10 per use.
Correct.
I don't think anybody anywhere close to that at this point. But all for-profit entities would be charged $25, and that would be, it's the outright fee.
Yes.
That would cover cleanup costs and making sure that all the...
Well, they would be responsible for any cleanup, any rearrangement of the room. Essentially, what we would do if we had an organization that failed to adhere, we could simply refuse to allow them to use the room in the future.
Okay. So it's basically a rental fee.
Yes.
This policy falls in line with places like the library.
Yes, this is essentially Worcester County Library's meeting room policy revamped
to meet our needs. Got a question?
Yes, sir.
Under charges, it says under A, it says a certified nonprofit group or organization. Well, then under C, it says all other groups or organizations. Got organizations in there twice.
This is where I think we should be private sector. But that's what this is, what C is supposed to be about. Private sector organizations, and there are some.
There can be organizations that are not certified nonprofits.
Yeah, they have nothing to do with nonprofits. But
like your HOAs.
Yeah.
Right, but I know, like, for example, I used to come to a B&I meeting here. Why are we charging after 6 months? Because they come every every month. So why?
That goes to nonprofits after 6 months.
BNI is not a nonprofit. They would actually be charged
each and every meeting.
Well, they don't.
Excuse me?
All right, well, I guess I don't understand why we're charging now when we never did charge.
Because of the use and demand of the room. And the fact that this town, I can't wait for the day that the library has the amenities it has. But this town does not have meeting space that's available to anyone. There's meeting space, but it's just not available to the public and not at all to the businesses. We're the default. So we feel we have the responsibility to set some standard that it basically says, okay, if you want to do this, there's a $25 fee. And, you know, to me, it's not unusual. It's probably unusual that anybody from anywhere can come in here and use this room for free. That's, to me, very antiquated and unusual. You know, it should have been done years ago, but that's fine. It's Water River the Dam. But, you know, this is a public building, and when it's for non-public uses, then I think we have a responsibility to establish some standards and guidelines that are based on the organization that are using the space. Come here. You wanted to know why.
No, I just feel like it's not written correct because it says, I mean, I get what you're saying about that, but it says a certified non-profit group or organization. This organization, it doesn't say what kind of...
Would it be more precise if you say a nonprofit group and just strike or organization?
Right.
Yeah, okay. I think that's a very good
observation.
Nonprofit group. Yeah, nonprofit group is a legal term that also has all the, you know, in the nonprofit world, there is such a thing as being certified and meeting the national standards and all that. And even the smallest nonprofits around them have to adhere to that. Certain reporting mechanisms and all that, and we've had, and we're very happy when we have so many nonprofits in the Berlin area in proportion to our population. It's amazing.
Yeah, I just think I just need to be a little clearer so that if somebody comes along and says, well, I am an organization, so why am I paying 25?
Okay. And I suggest that the amended say private sector. Private sector group or organization. That's what that's intended for.
Okay.
Okay? Trying to answer the best I can. Because we don't want to preclude them, but we do. That's a different use for this building than the government uses and the nonprofit uses, which are the most common. The least common are for private sector, but there is some demand, and quite frankly, it's time that we addressed it. So we said we're treating everybody the same. It won't be, well, this group got traded and that group didn't. Your question?
Oh, yeah. The people that are for-profit that want to use our public building, is it just Berlin businesses that are allowed to use it?
No.
So, for instance, I own a business in West Ocean City. So for $25, I can have this whole room for 4 hours and conduct any business I want.
Not any business you want.
How is that to say? Because I own a liquor store, so I need to be like...
Well, that's all spelled out.
It is spelled out good. That, I mean, because I'd like to protect, honestly, the sanctity of this building as a public government building and not talk about drinking vodka on Mondays. I mean, like, I am not one to discriminate, but at the same time, what businesses are we allowing to conduct business with?
Well, they would not be permitted to conduct business per se.
Yeah.
They can meet here,
and
but they can't sell their product.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm right, so we can't drink the vodka, but I can rent it $20. I can rent it to talk about
drinking vodka.
Talk about
business.
Right, I can't sell it. See, I just ran into this problem. How to not discriminate, because I think there are certain things that should be discriminated in certain areas, in certain places.
It's illegal to have any alcoholic beverages on
the property. No, I understand. I was just going to talk about it.
Sarah,
here's the other part of it, is that let's say,
right.
Here's a more likely scenario,
right.
That alcoholic beverage licensees in Worcester County decide that they have an issue that they need to bring to the state legislature.
Oh, right.
Right?
Yeah.
That has happened in the past.
Sure, and we need
so
a place
then,
to talk.
Then they would say, can we have a meeting to discuss this? And that has happened, but it's been years. I can see that happening again because of laws the way they are.
I just want somebody to have the power to say, not sure that's appropriate.
Yep.
It's on the media request.
Okay. Yeah. On the purpose of the media. Yeah. Right.
Talking about vodka.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I just think there's
no, I think it's a good point.
That's
a good point. And
I think for $25, that's an absolute steal.
Yes,
For 4 hours
of using your electricity and your lighting and your bathrooms and your carpet that I'm not bringing a vacuum to carpet.
But you're also not bringing food in, so.
Of that, no. No, you're right. Yeah. So,
and again, here's the other part of this is that
I think it's extremely gracious.
Well, quite frankly, I'd rather be known as gracious than not caring.
That's precisely
so. And the other thing is that there are, in time, I hope there will be alternative locations
That's
available
right.
in this community as it grows.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not there.
Okay. No, I think it's fabulous.
And,
yeah.
and if they do want to have a cocktail reception, then they can contact.
They can call me. It's fine.
They call you.
That's a great place to watch it.
Yeah, right. I was just concerned it seemed a little over gracious of the town, and a little over welcoming.
No, it's okay. If that's our reputation, God bless us.
May I just ask your name for the minute?
Yes, Sarah Hanberry.
Sarah Hanberry?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Any other comments?
Something.
Sure.
So the motion doesn't include it, but our proposal was to make this effective November 1st. Mm-hmm. We have reached out to several groups that use this room on a regular basis and shared with them a draft copy of the policy and then told them that we would be recommending a delayed effective date. That way, if they weren't happy with the final product and they needed time to find another location, that would give them plenty of time to transition to another. So it's not included in the motion, but we would ask that the council make this, if you choose to approve it, make it effective on the 1st of November. That gives all the groups time to read the policy, discuss it with us, figure out what, if any, other options they might want to work
out. So we're going to give them 90 days?
Sorry?
We're going to give them 90 days.
Okay, so November 1st.
Fine. Motion to approve. With that addition.
It's my reaction.
And the amendment that Ms. Bond mentioned.
Yeah, well, they are changing the language here.
To the charges?
Well, we're going to be on, it's charges 5D to strike the words for organization.
Yep.
Correct? Okay. Yeah, this will be fine. And then misinterpretation.
No worries.
With those understandings and amendments, we have a motion by Councilmember Boyes to pass the slightly revised meeting room policy for town hall. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. That was a very good and interesting discussion. Next, item 4 on the agenda, motions 2017-25, approving community parks and playgrounds grant application for permanent restroom in Steve Decatur Park. Mary, let's go
ahead. As the mayor just read, this would be the application for the state fiscal year 19. We actually would not receive notification on this grant until next spring with funding available after July 1st of next year. The total project cost is $133,450 with a grant amount that we're requesting in the amount of $120,105. With a match of $13,345, which is 10%.
Now that can be income.
I'm sorry?
That match can be income.
Yes, income. Yes. And will be. Between water, sewer,
yep.
and electric, there will be some in kind there.
If there are no questions, I'm looking to approve.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve. Motion 2017-25, which is to apply for the Community Parks and Playgrounds Program for fiscal year 19 for permanent restrooms in Steve Decatur Park in the amount of $120,105. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Same.
Thank you.
4-0.
Now we're going to motion 2017-26. This is limited parking on Jefferson Street to the east side and approving the installation of no parking signs on the west side. And Police Chief Arnold Downing is going to explain the recommendation and how he came to this.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you for the
council. Over the last 18 months, we've actually had several complaints in reference to Jefferson Street in regards to the parking itself and the inability for vehicles to freely flow down the street. After reviewing the street itself, we have found that the street is under 21 feet wide. And from our town standards that we actually, if we're having parking on one side, it actually should be at least 24 as standards for building a new road. So in reviewing that, we there thought that really it shouldn't be people parking on both sides of the street, bottlenecking in that area. If you look at the actual map, closer to the end of Washington Street is where the majority of the issue is. With people parking on both sides of that street, we feel if we go ahead and eliminate the parking on the actual west side of the street, that'll be the side of the street where you see the little red car actually in that diagram. We'll go ahead and alleviate the issues of that free flowing from that point. As we go farther up the street, not seeing it on this diagram, they already have no parking at the beginning of the street where Atlantic Hotel is. Then we have a period where we have the parking lot in the back, and then we have the parking in front of the new restaurant, the old coffee house. So again, in that area, you can't park on there because of signage already and because of actual open driving driveway spaces.
So there's already no parking on the west side of Jefferson Street from the point of the coffee house. I guess actually it's from the point of Gay Street all the way to Main Street.
Have you looked on that side, correct?
Yeah. So all you're doing then basically is extending that no parking restriction the rest of the way, because that would be south on Jefferson.
That is correct. Okay. We had to go ahead, we had the opportunity to speak to the residents right in the front at 103, and we had the opportunity to speak to the only house that actually on that street by them, what we're looking at. They both understood the situation. Again, at the apartment house, there is plenty of parking space. Should be enough for 12 vehicles to be parked on that property. And it is two parking spaces for the residents actually on that street.
So nobody will be, they have on-site parking, as I call it.
That is correct.
For the two
they have the ability to if they choose to. Okay. And they also have the ability to park across from their house on the other side of the street.
Does anyone have any questions for Chief Downing? And this again came, if I correct, basically from complaints, suggestions, recommendations from citizens in the town and our concern for the ability for emergency police, fire, and EMS vehicles to get through there.
And the inability for public works to get through at different times.
Okay. We'll be public works. Part of the public.
Does this motion include painting, extending the painted curb full distance?
We either feel painting the curb will actually be at a burden. It's easier to do it with signage. And again, it's just eyesight to eyesight. Again, red curbs could be done, but that's not the suggestion.
For discussion, do you wish to have a red curb put in at the very beginning because it's new? Or do you want to see if the signs work and if they're not, and if they're having to give a lot of tickets and it's being ignored, hold out the option of putting it?
I think appropriate for this street is actually no parking inside, all the way straight down. So if the signs just say no parking, then they can change those signs out. And when you see the first sign, again, eye view to the next sign. So the next sign should be able to be done with five signs or less. Then again, it's obvious. We do have, and we've had concern about people parking there during events. And again, anyone who is not familiar with the town should be able to see those signs and put in proper location.
If we're going to only use signs, can we maybe, when they're in their inception initially, put the reflective above and below?
Yeah.
Are you for the ribbons?
Whatever you think is more effective, just so that it raises awareness initially.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
And again, we already did with the free park. We talked to the four people who parked there. So,
but I think on events, things are right. I mean, a lot of people come to town.
The folks are going to park in the driveways. They're going to park where they're not supposed to. And those things are going to go ahead and happen. Now we have the vehicle to go ahead and address it. Before, when they were doing it, they're just like, well, the sign doesn't say it. Like, well, don't you see how wide it is? Common sense won't prevail in those things, so the signs will go ahead and help.
As long as they come with an additional visual aid.
Okay. And Chief, how long?
Again, we don't put the visual aids out, so you look that way, and when they put the signs up, they'll be able to go ahead and help you out.
Who did it? Public Works?
Public Works will actually there.
And again, but Chief, I wanted some guidance. How long should that additional attraction, whatever that is, how long should that be there?
The one thing that we build in the new sign, we wouldn't give a citation after we put the sign up the first day. So we will build it in for a whole month. We'll put warnings on people's vehicles. Again, they're going to be the same people who live right in front of it, and we're not going to do it. We'll be talking to our own residents. So again, 30 days, it should be enough.
Okay. That's perfect. All right. So, yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll buy the red paint if we're allowed to put it down from the coffee shop to the corner of Gay Street. Because people, they're just not using common sense. And I thank you for moving this effort forward and with the signs. But why can't the town paint the curb red from the coffee shop to the corner of Gay Street?
They paint it over in green.
Green?
If you look around town, there's some red spots that have been painted over green in town.
I've driven a car for a long time. What's a green stripe mean?
2 hours.
No, but 2 hours.
Does it really? I really didn't know that. Okay, so I would like to see red paint go down as well as some of the people I've spoken to.
Here's my suggestion. Again,
but if we can't, signs are good.
Let's see if it works. The chief's recommending that we do the signs, and all I'm saying if it remains a persistent problem, if they're having to put out tickets for months and months and months. But I think that the residents are not going to be the problem. I think that they will.
Oh, no, it's just special event days. Yeah,
special event days.
Yeah.
And again, it's a judgment call. I don't know if there's a right or wrong, but is it appropriate to take another very attractive, it's a street that looks so nice now.
I know.
And is it overkill to put a red stripe in such a traditional, charming street? I don't know.
All right, I've already spoken with the chief about this. He gave me his time, thank you. But I would prefer paint over signs. But he told me that signs do work better, so.
It's my understanding, chief, am I wrong, that the signs are required in order for you to be able to enforce?
Either or. One thing is, and again, it makes no difference to me, they will have to go ahead and repaint. And that's the issue, and that's definitely the issue.
Will it matter as they're doing construction on the new Habitat building that they're going to have to be working around the new signage there at the corner of Gay Street?
They're going to park wherever.
No. I meant like literally building it. Like they're going to, watch out for the sign. Ooh, no. Okay.
Again, the building is probably going to be on adjacent street. But again, they're going to have work vehicles in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And again, if they ever have something that's going to be persistent, we'll make sure they have flaggers or people to go ahead and direct traffic. That's going to be something that they're going to be regulated to do.
Yeah,
well,
it's a council decision, but I think you're owed everybody's always owed.
Sure.
My opinion is, let's see if the signs work as the chief recommends, because it's his area of responsibility and expertise. And if the signs don't work, then we can reconsider it at a later time. Take it from there and see what happens. Generally speaking, those people reluctantly accept the no parking once they start getting tickets. And the warnings are a nice place to start because it's kind of like, okay, you violated the law, but if you keep doing it, we're going to start charging. Is that okay?
No, it's great. I mean, because there are times my minivan does not get down that street.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, we have moved to approve it.
Okay, thank you.
Now, this motion includes the additional visual aids that we talked about. Yes.
30 days. Yep.
Thank you.
We have a motion by Councilman Burrell that has an amendment by Councilman Kendall about the 30 days special signage for the new parking, no parking signs, the new no parking signs. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
While we're on the topic of signs, can we maybe see if we can also install those visual aids by Buckingham Elementary just when the initial start of the school for the 30-day period as well? But I think that we had some issues with having an officer out there all the time, so maybe if we show that in the beginning, I think it might be helpful.
And I think particularly Buckingham, there's always new students every year, right? Because it's pre-K. Entries get pre-K I think that's a good idea.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next is item six.
Well, so we put item six on here because we were told that we would be able to get some funding from Coastal Bays that they were receiving from the EPA. It turns out the project that we have on Williams Street hasn't already been bid out. The EPA has backed off of that initial offer because there's certain things that needed to be in the bid documents that doesn't need the project out already. We can't go back and do. So that opportunity is no longer available. So as Coastal Base is looking at other options to help us out, so I'll keep you posted on that.
Okay.
But unfortunately, this opportunity that we thought was most readily available is no longer.
Thank you. Next are departmental reports. First is, we have
Mary first,
yeah. Administrative Services Director Mary Bola.
Good evening. As you may or may not be aware, we have had alternating rainy weekends all summer long. And they have happened to correspond with every movie that was scheduled to be in one of the parks. So we have not had one successful park movie this summer. I will be talking to them to reschedule. And so we'll probably end up going into September. But hopefully we'll get to show some movies in the parks this year. This Thursday, on the 16th, there will be representatives of the Maryland Energy Administration visiting us to see the Maryland Smart Energies Community Project that we did in the Welcome Center and to the Victoria Streetlights to retrofit lighting for lowered energy costs. And they want to come and look at that project and get our take on how everything went. So they'll be visiting the Welcome Center primarily on
what agency is it again?
The Maryland Energy Administration.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Mary? Next is Water Resources and Public Works Director Jane Clark.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We plan on installing the split rail fence on the west side of Flower Street this week, barring any more bad wet weather. We are also gearing up for the installing the walk path from Flower Street to Cannery Village on that piece of town's property. West Street has been milled. They did not, they held off placing the petro matting today and doing the paving while they're waiting for some better weather because they thought it was going to rain over sooner. And it looks like I'll be ordering some signs with visual aids for the parking.
This is not
like that. I paint. But we have some paint, yes,
we do. Okay. Yeah. Any questions for Jane? And next is Electric Director Ken Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Intrepid Lane extended, that's the new townhouses. That entire job is completed as far as all the transformers, the primer has been installed and completely energized. Only thing left to do in there is the street lights, which I actually met with Pulte Homes and discussed about putting street lights in the Intrepid Lane area and then also in the Schooner Lane boat, which they've wanted lights for a long time. So right now I'm just in the middle. They want me to work up an estimate for installing. Right now we did a total of about 15 lights total. And then they'll come back and do the section where nobody's living at later on when we start to build those towns. So I'm working on that. And then also the seasonal help guys, I've had them, they repainted all the outside fuel tanks at the power plant, the big 10,000 gallon tanks. They were in need of some painting, so I had them take care of that. And then also, Mary referenced all the rain that we've had here. Just to let you know, the pumping system that we installed on the number one engine, it's been doing its job. It's pumped a lot of water.
Very timely, very timely.
That's what it was supposed to do, so it's been doing its job. Then also, over at Schooner and Dueling Way, there's an overhead line that runs from Decatur Extended through that right of way, through the backside of Gold Creek, and then it comes out over at Dueling Way and Schooner. You're actually undergrounding that line. We did a conduit. We poured in a conduit from Gold Creek, which was 850 feet all the way down that right of way, and it comes out on the other side of Dueling Way, which I've talked to both the HOAs, townhouses, and then also the residential home. So they're fully aware of what we're doing there. And then we'll be installing a new underground. There will be a switch that's going to be installed there. And then once we do that, the overhead line will be taken out. And the reason we did that is because of those big, tall trees in there. They're like 85 foot tall.
There's a lot of them.
Yep, that's what we're doing.
What is your projected timeline for that project being
completed? I would say probably in the next, we should have it done by the end of September.
Okay.
First part of
just in case somebody asked or mentioned it.
And then today we installed the primary and transformer for the new library. They installed the cable, the transformer. Tomorrow they'll be finishing up the odds and ends on that to energize and test the transformer. Once we completed that, the single phase overhead line between the bed and breakfast and the library, that will be taken down. They want us to take that down so when they go to start to build the building, there won't be any chance of getting any steel work or that type of thing in the overhead primary line. So that'll be coming down. Then other than that, that's about it.
Any questions for Tim? Next is Chief Downing.
I'd like to first go ahead and say thanks to everyone for the participation and assistance with the National Night Out. We have between 700 to 1,000 participants. Again, a lot of the faith-based community came out to go ahead and support us with music, with food. We actually had a lot of our governmental agencies and our health partners come out and do medical screenings and provide resources from the health department, our own Parks Commission. And we're very pleased to go ahead and even see private individuals come out and help. We had Tiki Hut come out and provide free shaved ice for the whole event. We have had Randy actually come with the horse and carriage and go ahead and provide free rides, for hours. So it's good to go ahead and even up and see the private sector come out and give back to the community. And again, the support was overwhelming itself. We had over 30 partners be participants in the event. And we just are happy to see it continue to grow. And again, we're very proud of the community. We also, yesterday I was at church and I had a young lady come up to me. She said, "Are we ready Wednesday?" I said, "Huh?" And Wednesday we're taking Western Youth to Del Mar for trampolines. And again, the kids are already excited about it. So it's good to go ahead and have folks come up to you. We're going to take the largest number we've ever taken. We're attempting to take 50 kids. And after that, then we're going to Del Mar Pizza. So, again, if anyone wants to be or volunteer.
And you're going to stay away from those trampolines until you're well healed, right?
I'm going to be way back, and I'm going to blow the whistle when they play dodgeball, and I'm going to make sure not to step out anywhere near where they are.
Okay.
But, again, they look forward to these things. These are things that they don't have opportunity to do every day. And to go ahead and just be together and have fun, the opportunity to be children, I mean, again, we overlook those things sometimes. And afterwards, to go ahead, eat and laugh and make a mess, why not? So, it's very rewarding for us. We definitely have two officers. We're not quite sure how many other people are going to be volunteering from our agency for this event, but Jolly Rogers went really well, so we look forward to the events every year.
I'm sure to speak for the entire council to congratulate you on this
Again, another great national night out. Obviously, it was the biggest one yet. And not only, like I said, obviously the most participation we've had in terms of people coming to enjoy it, but also the number and variety of private sector, nonprofit, other public safety organizations, churches. It's just amazing. It's a wonderful one.
We had four people at the last minute say, hey, can we set up? And we're like, hey, next year's coming. So again, people are, you know, looking to say, how can we be a part of it? And that's very encouraging for us.
Thank you. Thanks for all you're doing.
Thank you. And last, want to go ahead and show you what we have for the Ford Explorers. This is the CO detector. It was some discussion about the Ford Explorers and the concerns about the carbon monoxide. What we found out from research and talking with Ford, they believe that all the leaks themselves in the vehicles have actually been for refitting or upfitting, and other individuals are there putting holes in the actual body of the vehicle. We do not put any holes in the undercarriage of our vehicles whatsoever. Lieutenant Fisher and Sergeant O'Connor actually put them all together themselves. So we're confident in that, but we actually there consulted with our law enforcement partners in Maryland, and Sheriff Randy Bounds, and they said this is what we use, and we went ahead and made sure we got one for every one of the vehicles.
Excellent.
So, again, making sure that our personnel are safe is the utmost, and again, we think this is going to go ahead and go a long way. Even if we don't have any leaks, we'll know for sure. Well, again.
Do we only have those for the Explorers?
Only for the Explorers. Again, the design of the Explorer is because of how the air comes under and it forces the carbon monoxide back underneath. That design is not up there shown in any other vehicles. None of the cars, because it actually went back, but for some reason this design actually pushes it back underneath the vehicle. So, they acknowledged that design, but they also said that no one should be putting any holes in the bottom of the vehicle.
Thank you. Any other questions for the chief? Next is Planning and Zoning Director, Engel.
I have nothing further to see, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Up enough time.
No problem. Finally, we have Economic and Community Development Director, Avi Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a few things tonight. Just a reminder that our event policy, the time is ticking away. If you want to submit an event, your paperwork is due by September 1st. We had a slew of people come in today to turn their paperwork in, which is great. And we are keeping a list of everyone who wants to hold an event in 2018. So. Especially for the press out there, Josh, I think Charlene left, so Josh, yeah, if you could.
Hey, it's
thanks, Josh. That was specific for you. Also been working on Small Town Throwdown. We now have three bands confirmed for that event on September 9th that John Fager is sponsoring. We've got some barbecue, and we'll keep it as a sidewalk sale instead of having outside vendors come in. So it looks like it'll be a good time on Saturday, September 9th. This third Thursday, Country Grass plays for third Thursday, lunchtime concert, bluegrass band, that's Steve Freeney's band. And I have been invited to Economic Roundtable with Senator Cardin on Thursday, and also Tory Burley Oak Brewery on Thursday as well. And the Berlin Chamber of Commerce After Hours is Thursday the 17th. At 6 p.m. at Brewer Hill. That's it for me.
Okay. Any questions for Ivy? Town administrator's report.
The only thing I wanted to mention is I've received some questions about the state highway sidewalk project that hasn't been suspended. It just got redeployed over to some work on Seahawk Road, and they'll be working their way back and finishing that project up.
Is that something we expect being finished before school starts?
Yes.
Okay. They were actually back up.
They back
yeah,
up today.
They were here. Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Great. I don't have any comments this evening.
Quick question. Jane, is there a minimum height requirement for trees that grow over town and roadways?
I don't know, but I
will
check.
I think it's
13. I think there is, but I don't know.
I was hoping it was going to be around 13. Okay, I've just got a couple. I'll give them to you.
If ever have something that needs a trim, let Jane know, then she can determine if it's something we're responsible for on the private property or depending on
a lot of different.
Well, it's rough.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Tomorrow is the National City Hall Selfie Day. So anybody that would like to join us, we're going to take one in front of Town Hall that day so that we can hopefully participate with other Maryland municipalities. Last year, the state of California won with, I think, 50 selfies throughout the state. So.
And thank you for allowing that up to town for them. Thank you.
Sure.
And I think it's not supposed to rain.
I hope not.
Yes. During the last rain event, it really was good to see the hundreds of thousands of dollars that have been spent on this endeavor actually work.
Thank you. I've heard that a dozen, if not more.
We're talking about the stormwater, by the way.
Yeah. I watched how it started to rain, and it ditched parallel to Shell Street, and how the water was moving and flowing, and back up the Head Start place. The water being handled there, and I seen the volume of the rain actually explode, and the ditch fill up, but the water was still moving, and how you softened the curve of the ditch, how that helped to increase the flow and having the water have somewhere to go. The water did not stop moving. Therefore, it did not have a chance to flood. It didn't have a chance to back up. And that was a wonderful thing to see. Taxpayer dollars have been spent, I think, tremendously well. But I also have a concern. Shell Street is just tearing up. Shell Street is deteriorating by the day.
The road, then.
Yes.
Yes.
It gets worse and worse. And if we could do something with Shell Street, I think that would really mean a lot in my neighborhood. But the water thing is working.
It's not a good thing, is it? It's good to know that,
yep,
that it has to be tested. I mean, really, that it's been tested this summer.
Yep.
That same rain event would have been over Flower Street.
Yep.
It would have been almost over the street, and there was still a good foot of room before it got to the top of the culvert. So that, I mean, that speaks volumes of the river.
Thank you.
I know it's the same thing. I thought it was fantastic.
Thank you. Do we have any comments from anyone in attendance tonight who wants to address the mayor and council about anything, concerns, whatever? Yes.
I guess this is more river control. Is the council concerned about limiting the amount of events in the town?
Well, it's been suggested by the merchants folks, and that's one of the reasons we're asking people. It's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons we're asking everything get set up ahead of time, because what we have been encouraging is overlapping events, and that's what we did this past weekend, so that we might have two events literally taking place, piggybacking, I guess is the best word. And yes, it is something where we don't see adding more and more events. What we do see is the events that are strongest remaining, and through natural social evolution, the weaker events probably will be either fade away or be replaced by something else. But the number of events that have anything to do with blocking off traffic or limiting traffic flow in downtown, I think we're maxed out. That's just my personal opinion. We haven't taken a formal poll, but I just think just common observations is that we're about as far along as we can be.
I think it's also an effort to use taxpayers' money more effectively and efficiently through making sure that our staff are working on a couple different events on the same day rather than coming in weekend after weekend. So it's an effort to try and use our money and resources a little more effectively and efficiently.
And I think if you look at the calendar, what's attempted to be done, because you don't tell people when they're going to do something, you wait for them to come forward, is we hope that we've ended up with a calendar that is heavier with activities and events in the spring and in the fall, with the holidays, Christmas, the traditional Christmas holiday is a separate event, separate period, but it only, there's very little interference with the traffic, except for the Christmas parade and the tree lighting. And in the middle of the summer, fewer events, and in the middle of the winter, there just aren't any. So that doesn't have any impact. So, you know.
I know that a lot of people, they come here to buy. One of the reasons why is because Berlin has a lot of events and things to do. So I really would hate to see, I don't mind putting them together or whatever, but I would hate to set a policy where you can only have X number of events. I mean, I'm hoping that's not what you're...
Well, we haven't set a number. We're just trying to use, I could say, reason, common sense. I know it's illegal in certain levels of government, but here we're still trying. And to determine if it was an event, like when we were brought to Believe in Tomorrow, it sounded just like what Berlin's all about. And we didn't say, oh, you're over the quota. No, did it blend with the town? Did it conform to the values that we try to embrace? Did it complement something that was already being done? And that's what we're doing now. When people do come, I know I'll be frank, is this something we can complement with something already pre-existing? Or is there a hole? Because we don't want, every now and then you have a couple back-to-back events, but generally speaking, you know, there's breaks. So that you have what I call event weekends, and then you have the weekends that just Berlin's bustling even when there's no event. So it's kind of like, you know, we're trying to find the balance. And
well, just as long as you, in my opinion, don't say we can only have X number of events a year, which sounds like what you're doing. That's why I said rumor control. I need to know.
But, you know, we're trying to be reasonable, but we haven't set a number because, quite frankly, we'd set a number. We'd have to turn down the Believe in Berlin.
Right.
We'd have to turn it down outright, yes.
Right, if I may, one of the reasons that we've implemented the event policy is because there's so many people who want to have events, and this way we can analyze and go over the events that people want to have next year. Some people want to have three events in one day, so we have to determine, okay, which event is going to take place that day. And I think also the rumor out there could be confused with we're only allowed to have 6 alcohol events per year.
Yeah.
We're not having any more alcohol events. So there's a movie one night, and then the next weekend there's a party in the park. We're not going to say no, there's not going to be an event each weekend, but it also depends on what the event is, but no more than 6 alcohol events per year.
No, yeah, it wasn't alcohol events. It was, the rumor was that the council was going to limit the amount of events a year.
Thank you for the rumor. The rumor's not true. Thank you for telling us. I mean, we need to know. All I'd say, if you read it on social media, be dubious.
It's also helpful to allow our economic development team to be able to market those events well. So when they come in by the deadline of September 1st, it allows us to create those wrap cards and push out the different advertising so that hopefully people can continue to want to come to Berlin for the events, and they'll actually know when they exist.
Right, and then staff, I mean, I know that Jane has to set her schedule, so, you know, if she knows what the events are going to take place that next year, then she could set her schedule and her department. People know when they're going to work, but when someone comes into my office and says, hey, I really want to do an event, can we close the street in 4 weeks? And I'll usually say, well, you know, I don't know, let's see what's going on, but now it'll be easier for myself and staff to say, hey, you know, we have a policy now, it's July 1st, do September 1st, get me your events right now, so then we can go over them and then we'll schedule.
And then that's also an opportunity for her to piggyback if it makes sense. Because they're, again, trying to, we don't want, I'll be very frank, I don't think anyone here wants to see every weekend of the year of that weekend. Not that that would happen, but it's a judgment
call as to what is too much and what is, you know, what
you are we I just wanted to, yeah, my restaurant week that I do will be fine.
Totally. Yeah. Restaurant week is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not closing in the street.
We can have restaurant week every month if you want.
That's right.
Yeah. No, that's fine. No, and I appreciate I'd rather you bring it up and let us know. But, because, and I have to say that that's something I see a difference. You know, if you want to know what's going on, we have so much traditional media that is not respected at all levels of government. We are fortunate that we have more than most small towns can dream of.
Thank you, Josh.
And the other, you know, the project. We are so dang unlucky. So social media is fine. It's good for promotion and things like that. But if you want to know what's going on, we are super available all the time. And certainly I know our town hall staff and so forth. Just, and I want to encourage participation.
I do ask questions.
is Halloween a town-sanctioned event?
Nope.
I'll take donations, that's impressive because that is a huge thing.
And it precedes. It's,
I mean, it's all inclusive of this town. I'm surprised it's not like a.
I can say this with certainty. It wasn't because it went out for some big promotion.
Right.
We became the town for Halloween for two of the reasons. Was, first of all, it was the quaint, safe place,
right.
Well lit, well policed,
right.
But also where there was the mutual respect of our guests and the people that wish to host it, because there are some streets that we just ask them, keep your lights off, don't turn on the porch lights.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and other places, there's the whole street. I think we're on one of those Halloween streets.
Right.
So, but what separated was that, to my knowledge, still to this day, trick-or-treating is still not allowed in Ocean Heights.
Right.
Now, I think they have a special event at Community Center. That's fine. But I think for kids who want to have that experience, I think they almost all come here. I've been told, and I was told many years ago, I haven't asked anybody lately, that in North Ocean City particularly, where, you know, it's not conducive to trick-or-treating. So a lot of those folks in North Ocean City and other places literally come here because it's a very traditional community.
I'm just surprised because I know that the town does clean up and the town does set up the barricades. And, you know, you guys do offer a lot of resources. Thank you, police chief. It's not like a... New Year's Eve in Berlin, Halloween in Berlin.
We don't have to advertise it.
No.
No. Something to go.
Just there you go.
The gremlins find us.
We don't have to be
grateful. But thank you. Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does anyone else have any questions, comments, concerns?
Move to adjourn.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your patience.
Last week,
folks in Capitol Hill to know where we are.
There was a time in Never.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And
you may have noticed some of them, the templates in the packets of 2016.
Ah, yes, I did notice that.
I've changed them all, so thank these you. Are all 17.
I found one the other day, and kind of whatever we did with it. And right here, right?
Yep. And I guess I'm going to get up with Elroy.
Yeah. From what he had pulled, he had someone who worked for him didn't show up.
Ah.
Classic.
And I believe that one was the second sheet.
Okay. Classic. Problem.
Yes. I am tired today. I got back from...
Yeah, when did you get back?
Key West last night.
Oh, my God.
At 12:30.
Oh, my God.
By the time I went to bed and stuff.
You're going to sleep good tonight. That's for sure.
And
wait. Did you have a nice time, though?
It was. Very hot.
I went the farthest south we've ever been in the summer. It was about 3 years ago. We went to the Dominican Republic. And we thought we were going to die.
Oh, I know.
We stayed in the pool almost all the time.
I know. That's what we did, too. We were in that pool.
If it hadn't been for that, we'd had to leave. We just had to go.
I mean, we went to the beach a couple days, but I just preferred the pool. It was...
Is this the 14th?
Yes, today is. I love a beach, but we have a beach here.
Yeah.
I don't have a pool, so
yes.
I was enjoying the pool.
And that's something we went back to. We almost did that a couple of times, and now we're glad we don't have one because we don't want to go to one. We just go to one.
Yeah. I would love one.
Yeah.
I mean, the ocean pines. We've got like 5 in ocean pines.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have them available. But
I know. We had that discussion many times in the last 45 years.
I didn't put the packets together this week, so I'm kind of like, wait, does this one need
it? No problem. Take it out. I want you to get home safely, but I'm fine.
Last one. And then I'll get up with Elroy and Laura will sign her portion.
I'm so glad that we got some of this business done. And that's good for the little summer.
Yeah.
Summer's supposed to be a little less.
Thank you. That's all right.
Thank you. And have a good night's sleep.
You too.
Shirley, nice to talk to you soon.
Yeah. I know part of me is like, I can't do it.
Let me know when.